हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम द चांटिंग इज फॉर यू टू कम बैक एंड बी टू बी हियर नॉट टू बी एनीवेयर एल्स ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ॐ यश्चन्दसां ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोभ्योऽध्यमृतात् सम्बभूव समीन्द्रो मेधया स्पृणोतु अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासं नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ वि हाव् कम्प्लीटेड् दि मूलपठनम् आफ् ईशावास्य उपनिषद् We have completed the study of the text, Ishavasya Upanishad. We have not entered into the commentary of Adishankara Bhagavatpada. And as part of the teaching, I just thought today we will start the commentary part. And before entering into the actual original commentary in Sanskritam, I just thought let me give you in English itself the content of the introductory commentary on Ishavasya Upanishad. The introductory commentary in Sanskritam is called Avatarika Bhashyam. Because if I simply say Avatarika Bhashyam, you don't get frightened, nothing. Introductory commentary. See, when Shankara Bhagavatpadaha intended to write commentary on this particular Upanishad, he had to first of all establish that this Ishavasyam is an Upanishad belonging to or associated with Jnana Kanda portion of the Veda. Why? Because there are people who take this Upanishadic mantras, the mantras obtaining in this, contained in this Upanishad, they take them to be the mantras to be used in the Karma Kanda portion. They associate this with Karma Kanda. So they say this Upanishad mantra, the mantras of this Ishavasya Upanishad are to be used during the performance of rituals. This Upanishad has to be taken to be something associated with, connected to Karma Kanda portion. That is how they see it. For Shankara Bhagavatpada's effort is to establish, first of all, this Upanishad does not belong to Karma Kanda portion. This is an Upanishad, belonging to the Jnana Kanda portion. Only then he can start writing the commentary on this. So he starts etesham mantranam karmasu aviniyogaha. Aviniyogaha means non-usage of these mantras in the performance of rituals. He starts like that. We call it a statement of pratijna. These mantras are not meant for using in the performance of rituals. Why? He has to establish why these mantras have nothing to do with the karmakanda. These mantras are associated with the jnanakanda only. He has to say. And for which the first reason he gives is Shruti Pramanam Nasti. Shruti Pramanam means the support to state, to prove that these mantras are used during the performance of rituals. These mantras are used in performance of rituals. Or these mantras are associated, connected to the karmakanda portion to state, to prove that there must be some authentic statement from the Veda. Nowhere in Shruti, nowhere in the Veda, it is stated that these mantras of Ishavasyam are to be used in or meant for using in Karmakanda portion. There is no statement. Suppose if there was a statement anywhere in Karmakanda, if it was said, these mantras have to be used, you know, during the performance of rituals. If it was mentioned anywhere, then it is possible for us to say that these mantras are actually associated with karmakanda. There is no Shruti statement. Therefore, there is no Shruti statement. Okay, this is the first reason he says. Kar Shruti Pramanam is not there. Then second point, he goes to second point. What a second point is called, there is no Linga Pramanam. Linga Pramanam is what? Clue. You know, for there is no clue, there is no way, there is nothing to establish, to prove, there is no clue, not even a clue, that to understand that these mantras are associated with the karma. Clue means what? Suppose the karta, the jiva means the individual nature is discussed in this Upanishad. You all know the mantras. The jivatma swarupam is discussed. So, the jivatma swarupam discussed in this Upanishad negates the doership. Negates the doership. So, these mantras reveal very clearly the nature of the jiva being not up, being opposed to karma. What is the nature of the jiva discussed here, revealed in these mantras? We have a beautiful words. You know, pariyagat, shuddham, apapavidham, asnaviram, all those words. I'm going to teach anyway. See that mantra again. So the mantra, the seventh mantra, remember, revealing the nature of the Atma. Definitely that mantra reveals the, until the third to the, you can say fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, those mantras reveal the nature of the Atma. There the doership on the part of the Atma is negated, which means the nature of the Atma is opposed to the performance of ritual. Performance of any performance, any doing, karma, opposed to karma. Which means the jiva discussed in the Ishavasya Upanishad is a non-doer, not the doer. Suppose if the Ishavasya Upanishad, the Jiva discussed in the Ishavasya Upanishad, is presented as the doer, then you can say this is associated with karma. But the Jiva discussed in this Upanishad is not the doer, but the non-doer. Is clear? Therefore, that is also clue. What is very clear? Because these Upanishad mantras discuss the Jiva to be the non-doer, they do not present the Jiva as the doer. Therefore, the Jiva is not associated with the doership, karma. Therefore, this Upanishad doesn't belong to Karma Kandaha. So, karmanga bhuta jiva pratipadanam nasti. Karma anga bhuta jiva pratipadanam nasti. What is the jiva presented here, revealed here, is not the one associated with karma as the doer. But the jiva discussed here is the non-doer. Is it clear? This is called linga pramanam. Second point. Now the third one we go. Vishal Shankara presents beautiful like this. I removed all Sanskritam and I'm putting it in a like a simple thing. I put say it in everything in English simply for you. Then what's the third aspect? If you see, this Jivatma discussed in this Upanishad, or you can say the Atma. Jiva is Atma. Jiva is another than Atma, the Self. Therefore, Atma is not associated with the karma as the karma phalam. Jiva is not associated with karma as the fruit of an action also. Karma palatvena api na sambandha asti. What does it mean? Atma is not something which is to be attained as a result of an action. Atma is not the product of an action. A result of an action. Is it clear? To understand that, what he is, Atma is not the karma phalam. Atma is not something to be attained as a result of an action. Therefore, Atma has nothing to do with the action. Therefore, the Atma discussed here being something which is not associated with the karma phalam also. This Upanishad, these mantras form the Upanishad belonging to Jnana Kanda, not the Karma Kanda. To say how Atma is not the result of an action, Atma cannot be attained as a result of an action, he here discusses the four types of fruits of actions. So, Chaturvidha Karma Palani. Whatever fruit of action, whatever action one performs, whatever ritual one performs, whatever meditation one practices, as a result of three types of karma, isn't it? Physical activity or mental activity or oral activity, three types of actions, isn't it? And here again, any karma you perform, whether it's a nityam karma, as is a compulsory duty, naimittikam karma, or whatever karma you do, any action you perform, anything you do, that must produce a phalam, result, and those results of any action, can be categorized, under four groups. Into four, they can be divided. What are they, you say? See, any karma phalam is said to be utpadyam. Karma phalam utpadyam. Utpadyam means producible. Anything which can be produced is called producible, is utpadyam. Like all our agricultural products, you work hard, then you produce, new result is produced. So utpadyam. And also we can say, suppose you perform, there are rituals like putra kameshti yajnaha. Suppose a person performs, the deserving person, who's young, energetic, still who needs Bhagavan's grace to have a child, and who performs the ritual also, and then he gets a child, means what? That as a utpadyam, isn't it? Which means not directly, somehow that result is there. So utpadyam means what? That which can be produced, that which can be newly produced. Even best example is agricultural products. Then, next type of karma phalam is what? Vikaryam. Vikaryam means any fruit of action is subject to modification, subject to change. No fruit of action will remain forever without undergoing any change. Vikaryam. The nature of the fruits of actions are beautifully analyzed and presented. Utpadyam, now vikaryam. The third type of fruit of action, opium. Opium means attainable, reachable. As a result of an action, something can be attained, something can be reached. By running from here, you can reach another place. By doing something, what you have not attained before, you can attain. Isn't it? Suppose you were not rich before, now you can attain riches. You were far away and you have reached this place. This is as a result of an action, a result can be attained. So attainable is called opium. Opium phalam, vikaryam phalam, utpadyam phalam. Now fourth type of fruit also is there. Fourth type of phalam. Samskaryam. Samskaryam means refinable, purifiable, is called samskaryam. I want to, these all is all actually in if you take these nouns here used as nouns, actually you can, they're all potential passive participles are used here as noun, the form of noun adjectives here for the fruits of actions. Utpadyam palam, vikaryam palam, producible fruit, modifiable fruit, reachable, attainable fruit, then refinable, purifiable fruit, samskaryam. Got this now? We have the nouns, utpattihi, production, vikritihi, modification, aptihi, attainment, samskritihi, refinement. I'm telling you the noun forms of the same thing. So these are, any fruit you attain, you can bring under these four categories. So atma, is atma utpadyaha? Is atma producible? No. Atma is not utpadyaha. Why? Because, why it is not producible? Nityatvat. Atma, you can learn Sanskritam like this. Atma na utpadyaha nityatvat. due to the nature of being eternal, Atma is not producible, therefore Atma is not the product of karma. Atma cannot be the fruit of an action. The next, is Atma vikaryaha? Is Atma subject to change? No, Atma avikaryaha. Atma is not subject to any modification, non-modifiable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What is the reason we have to say? Because ashariratvat, avikaryatvat, Atma na vikaryaha. Atma is of the nature of formlessness. Why? Because Atma is bodiless, isn't it? No shariram for Atma. Atma is free from physical body, subtle body, isn't it? And also causal body also. Atma being free from the three types of bodies, or I can say five layers of personality, Atma is of the nature of formlessness, isn't it? Therefore, Atma is not subject to any change, subject to change. Your avikaryatvat, ashariratvat, Atma na vikaryaha. Atma is not subject to change. Therefore, what is Atma is not the fruit of an action. Okay, second option. Now third. Aapyaha. So, Atma, aapyam is the fruit of an action. Atma is not aapyaha, anapyaha. Atma is not attainable or reachable. Why? Sarvagatatvat. Due to the all pervasiveness, you have to say that you have to learn this, okay? Hetvarte panchami. What is the cause for stating? Isn't it? Why do you say Atma had attainable? Due to its all pervasiveness. Sarvagatatvat. Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, Atma is not reachable or attainable. And the next one. Atma is not refinable, purifiable. Isn't it? Atma asanskaryaha. Why? Shuddhatvat. Shuddhat due to its purity. Already pure need not be purified. Cannot be purified. You're non-refinable, non-purifiable shuddhatvat. Therefore what? Atma is not samskaryaha. Here, the samskaryaha is what? We can say, I can say the noun forms again, utpattihi, vikritihi, then aptihi, samskritihi. We can also say samskaraha also we can say. Samskaraha, masculine noun, samskritihi, feminine noun. So what, so samskaraha or samskritihi means refinement, isn't it? Here, the refinement is always of two types. The two types of purification or refining. One is guna apanayana samskaraha. Sorry, dosha apanayana samskaraha. Guna adana samskaraha. Dosha apanayana samskaraha. See, removal of the, you can refine something by doing two things, isn't it? You can convert this, now there's a wall here. You can make this wall, purify this wall, refine this wall. How can you do? What can you do? First you scrub it. Through scrubbing, you're removing the dirt, isn't it? Removal of the dirt through scrubbing is also what? A refinement. Refinement through removal. Isn't it? Through removal. And the refinement through addition also. Then afterwards you paint it. That's called guna adana. Isn't it? Embellishing something is also what? Making it appear better making it look better, making it shine. That's also what refinement, isn't it? So addition, embellishing it, or through addition of something, you make it look better. It's also what now? So refinement. You paint it. That's called guna adana karma. So first, what you do, you scrub all the dirt. That's also what now? This is a refinement only, but through the removal of something which makes it look ugly, isn't it? So dosha apanayana dwara samskara, isn't it? Apanayana and guna adana. Okay, by lending some beauty, you refine it. By removing the defect, you refine it. We have two types of, isn't it? Refinement. And here, Atma, you need not remove anything from Atma. There is no dirt, there is no impurity, blemish or sin, anything on the part of Atma. Isn't it? Therefore, nothing, dosha apanena samskaraha, the refinement in terms of removal of something undesirable, unwanted, blemish, sin, etc. also is not possible. Isn't it? Therefore, dosha apanena also is not possible. You need not may improve the Atma. Therefore, guna adhanam also is not possible. Already it is pure. So we have to say, shuddhatvat apapa vidhatvat. Because already Atma is unafflicted by any punya papa. It's free from all asangatvat. Free, it is untainted by any punya papa, any results of any sins, etc. Therefore, Atma is what? Asamskaryaha. Clear now? Therefore, if Atma is non-refinable, non-reachable, non-attainable, non-modifiable, non-changeable, non-producible, Atma cannot be the product of karma, cannot be the result of karma. Atma is not karma phalam. Therefore what? Atma is not the karma phalam. Therefore Atma has nothing to do with the karma. Therefore, the mantra here revealing the nature of the Atma being such, this Upanishad does not belong to Karma Kandaha. Is it clear? This is what he says. Thereafter, the three aspects are covered now. Now the fourth aspect. The Purupakshi. You know, sees, instead of seeing these words, because there's a mantra with the words implying the nature of the Atma. What is that mantra? Sapariyagat, Pariyagat, Shuddham, Shukram, Asnaviram. Now we heard that. Remember, we read that verse. So that mantra reveals the nature of the Atma. He says, why can't we take these words as glorification of the Jiva? Instead of taking the meaning of these words implying the swarupam of the Atma, why can't we take the meaning of these words as glorification of the Atma? Then you can say what? This Upanishad belongs to Karma Kanda. If you take it as nature of the Atma, it negates doership, etc. Isn't it? Therefore, suppose the Purupakshi asks, what is the answer? See, in the Veda, whenever we come across statements or words of glorifications or some stories, those statements are said to be Arthavada Vakyani. Arthavada Vakyam. I want all to know this. Arthavada Vakyam means a statement or a portion consisting of statements revealing or talking about a story, presenting a story, or glorifying something, something associated there in the context. You may come across a lot of glorifications of, you know, some Indra, Varuna, etc., glorifications of devatas, glorification of the results of actions, glorifications of the pleasures enjoyable in Swarga. Like how you come and glorify, fantastic, how it was nice. We went to that temple and we had prasad in there. It was very nice. We say something. Like that here, the glorification, something to do, no? Whenever you may come across, definitely it is possible for one to come across such statements in the Veda. So it may be in Upanishad or any Karmakanda portion or Jnanakanda portion. If we come across the portion consisting of statements revealing a story or glorifications, etc., then that portion is called Arthavada portion or Arthavada Vakyam, Arthavada Vakyani, statements of glorifications, praise, or, you know, connect associated with the stories, etc. So if those stories are there, then immediately what now? It must be connected to a vidhi. Vidhi, there must be some statement of, you know, vidhi also must be there. The statement of wherever Arthavada Vakyam is, or wherever Arthavada Vakyani are there, wherever the statements of glorification or story, the portions of stories come, there, that in that portion, there must be somewhere the vidhivakyani also, or vidhivakyam must be there. A vidhivakyam means what? A statement of order must be there. Is it clear? If there is no vidhivakyam, then that portion you can't take it as Arthavada portion. So here, because this Purapakshi asks, why should we not take these words, you know, in the Ishavasya Upanishad, which words? The words revealing the Swarupa of the Atma. These words revealing the Swarupa of the Atma, why can't they be taken as Stuti? Now, Stuti means glorification of the Atma. If you take it as a glorification of the Atma, then he can say what? It belongs to Karmakanda. So Shankar Bhagavatpada says there are only 18 mantras. Where do you find Vidhivakyam? There is no statement of Vidhi at all. There is no statement of order. That, no, this, it cannot be connected to any Karmakanda portion. Therefore, there is no Vidhivakyam. Therefore, there is no Arthavada Vakyam also. Arthavada portion also is not there. These words are not glorifications, do not reveal the glorification of the Atma. They really reveal the Swarupam of the Atma being non-doer, non-enjoyer. Okay. These words reveal what? These words reveal only Swarupam of the Jivatma. Swarupam of the Jiva. What is Swarupam of the Jiva? Atma. What is the nature of the Atma? Saparyagat, all pervasiveness is the nature of the Atma. Shukram, purity is the nature of the Atma. Free from ignorance, that is revealed, that is the nature of the Atma. Then apapa viddhatvam. Apavidya means what? Atma is unafflictedness of, is unafflictedness, untaintedness, being the nature of the Atma is revealed here. Then oneness of the Atma is discussed here. Therefore, this is the nature of, this is the Atma Swarupam alone is discussed here. But to perform karma, you know, there must be what? There must be kartrutvam, there must be doership, then there must be enjoyership, there must be, you know, associated with the karma, phalam. There is bahuttam also. In karma means there must be plurality also, not oneness. But these mantras reveal the nature of the Atma. But what we need for karma is diagonally opposite of what is being said here. Therefore, this portion, this Upanishad mantra, doesn't belong to the Karma Kanda portion. It belongs only to the Jnana Kanda portion. Okay, he says, here are the four aspects. Now, after this, interesting thing comes. Shankara Bhagavatpada continues his commentary, and which is an answer. There is no objection. Okay? Then we have to means what? Here, at least Swamiji helps us to understand the possible objection one can raise in this context. What is that possible objection one can raise here, for which the answer is already there? But objection is not in the commentary, Bhashyam. What is that objection? The question comes. See, karma kandaha of the Veda. See, karma kandaha, jnana kandaha, both two kandas. In karma kanda itself, okay, include upasana kanda. Okay? Karma kandaha, jnana kandaha, pravritti margaha, nivritti margaha. Two portion, two khandas together, isn't it? Two pravritti margas together constitute the entire Veda Shastra. Entire Veda. Here, in the karma kanda, jiva is accepted, assumed as karta. In jnana kanda, jiva is presented as akarta, non-doer. In karma kanda, jiva is accepted as karta. In jnana kanda, jiva is accepted as, revealed as the non-doer. Therefore, can these two both be the facts? Can there be two facts? Jiva is karta, is it a fact? Jiva is akarta, is it a fact? Edu unmai. What is the fact here? Because both are revealed by what? Veda. How can there be two facts? If jiva is a karta, jiva cannot be akarta. If jiva is akarta, jiva cannot be akarta. Jiva can be both karta and akarta. Why should we not accept it both? Like, you know, Swamiji says, like, for everything you can tell, like Tanjavur Bommai, you know. Mm-hmm. Puja Swamiji, when he does it, very beautiful it looks. For everything. Sometimes, you know, people want to be very, it's called diplomacy. You can't understand whether people, do you accept it, you don't accept it. You have to see Tanjavur Bommai, okay, the dolls. I wish I had one to show. Yeah. Because you can't make a wish, you say yes or no. Both are okay. Is jiva karta? Jiva akarta? Means what? Is that possible for, they can't be both, you know. One must be the fact. One must be a non-fact. Isn't it? One must be absolutely right, one must be relatively right. They both cannot be absolutely right facts, isn't it? No, it's impossible to compromise in jnanam, in the field of knowledge. You cannot compromise. You cannot say yes, it's not to please. You are like Narmada so much. How can I say no to her? No, whatever you say is correct. I like you very much. With due respect, my love for you is different. But I have to disagree with you. What to say is not correct. Because that's not right. In knowledge, no compromise. Therefore, isn't fact. What is a fact? Jiva is akarta is a fact. Okay. Jiva is akarta is a fact. Why? Because he has to say further. Paraspara viruddha dharmau ekasmin dharmini na syatam. In one locus, the contradictory attributes, dharmas, opposed to each other, cannot coexist in one locus. Doership and non-doership are opposed to each other, isn't it? You can say tall person, but very thin he is. A tall person, but he is very thin. It is the right expression. He is very short and he is very fat. Or he is very thin, you can say that. A tall and a fat, you can say. Is it? Because they are not opposed to each other. You can't say tall, short, he is very tall, the tall person, but he is very short. It's not possible because their tallness and shortness are opposed to each other. Paraspara viruddha dharmo. Fat and thin cannot be in the same locus. One person cannot be fat and thin simultaneously. He used to be very fat and he lost a lot of weight. I wish you can say next time and see me. You know what I'm saying? Which means, so paraspara viruddha dharmo ekasmin dharmini nasyatam means what? They cannot, you know, the contradictory opposite attributes cannot coexist in one locus. But Veda's Karma Kanda states that Karma Kanda assumes the jiva to be the doer. But Jnana Kanda negates the jiva's doership. Jnana Kanda presents jiva as a non-doer, akarta. And we cannot say, what cannot be said? We can't say, okay, let us take only Karma Kanda as a pramanam. We cannot say that. Or let us take only Jnana Kanda as the pramanam, as an authentic, valid means of knowledge. So we can take only one as the fact, isn't it? Can we take only one? That's also not possible. No way. The entire Veda, Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda together, as an entire Veda, serves as a means of knowledge, pramanam. Both together serve as a pramanam, means valid means of knowledge. If we take only one portion, it is not possible for you to take any one portion as a means of knowledge. It's called Ardha Jaratiya Nyayaha. Ardha Jaratiya Nyayaha means what? No, you cannot say, yeah, one portion of my body alone has become what? From here to one portion, one side, my body has become very, very old. the one side of the body remains very young. This side of the body has what? 20-year-old look. This side of the body looks 70-year-old look. Half body has become what? Half body is still young. Whole body has to become old. Our whole body should be young, isn't it? Ardha jaratiyam, half becoming old, half remaining young is not possible. Isn't it? Suppose we go to the doctor and tell the doctor, you know, my right hand is sore. Doctor, always very painful. It's very painful. I'm going through suffering a lot of pain on my right hand. Suppose, you know, not in the left hand. Okay. Only one hand, if you go to the doctor for only one hand's pain, okay? Because before it comes second hand, you go to the doctor. The doctor will ask you, how old are you? How old are you? You know, I'm not at 80. I'm going to be 80 soon. Oh, you're 80-year-old, that is why you have this problem. No, this hand also is 80 years old. This, like this hand. Isn't it? What does it mean? See, it is not ardha jaratiya nyayaha. Is it like just only one portion of the body cannot become old, one portion of the body cannot become remain young? The entire body has to become old or it must be young. Similarly, entire Veda has to be taken as a pramanam. You can't take only one part of the Veda as a pramanam, as a means of knowledge. Therefore, the question comes, how is that Veda Karma Kanda presents Jiva as a karta, Jnana Kanda presents Jiva as akarta nandover? So what is the fact? Which should be taken? What is the ultimate aim of the, what is revealed by the pramanam? What is the ultimate fact revealed by the pramanam? Meda. Is doership or non-doership? So here comes, the answer comes like this. Because the Purupakshi, it is possible for him to ask. In the Veda it is said, Swarga Kamaha Jyotish Tomena Yajeta. The one who wants to attain Swarga, may he perform the Jyotishta Homa. One who wants progeny, may he perform Putra Kameshti Yaga. Like this we have lots of. So which means the very Karmakanda prescribes rituals, isn't it? And expects the Karmakandi to perform the rituals and enjoy the fruits also. Very clear. Therefore he says, Veda itself, if you take the entire Veda as a pramanam, Veda itself says, may one perform this ritual for this end. May one perform this particular ritual for this end. May one practice this meditation and along with this ritual for accomplishing this end. Samuchyana, we saw even, isn't it? Like Veda itself prescribes in the Karma Kanda. Then is it not pramanam? Therefore here, Shankar, first he makes it very clear one thing. You already heard about one vakyam called Arthavada Vakyam. Now you know, in Veda, the Arthavada Vakyam means what? You know that. Arthavada Vakyam, which comes along with the Vidhi Vakyam, is not to be taken as Pramana Vakyam. Understand? That is for a given purpose. That is used from the Karma Kanda. And second thing, he first of all explains what a pramanam is. Please understand this. What is a pramanam? The ultimate aim of the entire Veda is to help you discover the real nature of the Atma, thereby to discover the freedom which is already there. This is the ultimate aim. But still, in the very karma kanda, Veda prescribes the karmas. And what? So here, Veda accepts the kartrutva. No doubt, Veda accepts. In the karma kanda, the jiva is accepted to be the doer, accepted as the doer. But first of all, you should understand what is a pramanam. See, anadhigata artha bodhakam pramanam. This is a definition, it's a brief definition. It's a long sentence is there. I want to understand one thing. And you have to really learn this. What is a pramanam? Anadhigata artha bodhakam pramanam. Adhigata means something already understood. Anadhigata means what has not been understood already, which means unknown. Adhigata means known. Anadhigata means unknown. Anadhigata artha bodhakam means, bodhaka means that which brings to light, that which reveals. So pramanam is that which reveals something which is already unknown. Here Veda is looked upon as pramanam because it reveals, is supposed to, it does reveal something which is already unknown to you. Is it clear? It cannot reveal something which is already known to you. Already known to you need not be revealed. If it reveals already known, something known to you, why should you waste your time and break your head to study the Vedanta, isn't it? So, the very definition of pramanam is what? That which reveals what is already unknown to you. Anadhigata artha bodhakam. Natu adhigata artha bodhakam. Got it? Therefore, Veda is meant for revealing something which is already unknown. It does reveal what is already unknown to us. What is not already unknown to us? Akartrutvam. How the Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, which is not known to us, isn't it? Atma being the non-doer is unknown to us. Okay. And then one need not study the karma kanda to know that one is a doer. Got it? So Veda does not reveal the jiva being the doer. Karma kanda of the Veda does not reveal the jiva being the doer. Karma kanda of the Veda only takes jiva as the doer, which is already known to the jiva, known to everyone. Being born a human being, every one of us already assume about ourselves. Isn't it? All of us, we have the misconception. We do not think it is a misconception. We think already we know we are the doers. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the achiever, I am going to achieve this. All these things we have already, isn't it? You need not study karma kanda of the Veda to know you are the doer. You already know you are the doer. This is the knowledge you have about yourself already. What is already known to you? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the sufferer. All these notions you have about yourself or already you have. Do you need to study Karmakanda to know you are the doer? No. Therefore, when Karmakanda presents the karmas, no, and assuming the jiva as the doer, which is already known to you, so whenever then that portion, those statements are called anuvada vakyani. Now you're learning a new sentence, isn't it? Anuvada vakyam means, anuvadaha means restatement. The restatement means what? If Veda restates what is already known to you, that statement is not a statement of means of knowledge. That is not a pramana vakyam, but anuvada vakyam. Is it clear? So, Karmakanda portion, in Karmakanda, when Veda talks about jiva as the doer, accepts jiva as the doer, so those statements of acceptance of jiva as the doer are anuvada vakyani, not pramana vakyani. They do not, which means what? Anuvada vakyani restate what you already think about yourself. They do not reveal the nature of yourself. They do not reveal the nature of the Atma. Is it clear now? Therefore, they are not the Pramanam. Pramanavakyani. Then the question comes, then why does Veda prescribe all this? Because suppose Veda, when he starts, always Veda Mata, Shruti Mata, as a mother, he does not find fault with you. You are wrong. You know, whatever you think about yourself is very wrong. If somebody says no, like box means, what will you do? You already are helpless, not knowing what to do. You already are guilty. So already guilty person, already suffering person, needs only love, warmth and care. So Veda accepts you totally as you are. That is why mother. Okay? And also patch, you are 100% right. You are the doer. You are the sufferer. You are a mumukshu. Yes, you are a seeker of moksha. You are bound. Yes, you are a samsari. Veda accepts. Whatever notions you have, Veda accepts. When Veda accepts you, very good. Then you feel up. Somebody who understands me, who accepts me, then you love Veda. Then make you sit on the lap and mother backing your stroke, you are wrong, my child. You're wrong. You know? That is what the Veda does. Understand? So, accepts you as you are. With all your wrong misconceptions and notions you have to accept. Veda has to win your heart first. The very beginning itself, you are wrong. You are not the doer. You are not the enjoyer. You are free from all these things. Where is bondage for you? Why do you need to have mukshatvam at all? You are already free. You are not bound. There is no need for you to seek moksha at all. If Veda says that, you will run away from Veda. No, you don't know how much I am suffering. You know, this is not the way. When somebody comes to you suffering, isn't it? So all you have to learn Vedic psychology, okay? You don't need to be diplomatic. It's not diplomacy. It's a genuine care. So diplomacy means cheating also is involved, okay? Because I had to get my thing done, so I had to be, let me not look into, overlook. Let me overlook other person's thing. That's not the way. Genuine care. Diplomacy in business is okay, but not in Shastra, isn't it? There's no, it's a genuine care. When the child does something, no, if you say, that is why whenever, when you want to point out somebody's mistakes, first stroke your rights, okay, not wrong, put the hand on the shoulder, bring closely, then slowly say, no, give him one something to eat and drink, first fill his stomach, see that he's not hungry anymore, then slowly make him sit in a cool, nice place, not in the hot weather, okay? then say something nicely, and then that person, yeah, then he'll understand. That's a nice way of doing things, isn't it? Amazing. That's why Veda, why we call Veda mother? Shruti Mata, that's the reason. So the whole Karma Kanda accepts you as you are, prasansti karma. So don't take the restatement of what your misconceptions. You already know about yourself. What you already thinking of yourself. That is only anuvada vakyam, not pramana vakyam. What is pramana vakyam? If na anadhigata bodhakam, artha bodhakam. What is unknown to you, if it is brought to light, mean that is pramanam. Only then pramana vakyam. Paryagat, asnaviram, avranam, asnaviram, akayam, shuddham, apapavidham. All these terms, they reveal something what is unknown to you. So what does this word paryagat? Paryagat. Paryagat negates spatial limitation. By revealing your nature, so Atma Swarupam being all pervasiveness. Shukram negates the dirt, impurity in the form of ignorance, avidya. Not that, it negates the Atma being free from causal body. Asnaviram negates, asnaviram avranam, two words negate Atma being free from gross body. Akayam negates Atma being free from subtle body. So these three words, by negating the three bodies on the part of the Atma, they reveal the formlessness of, and also formlessness and indestructibility of the Atma. Apapavidham negates afflictedness on the part of the Atma. So unafflictedness, untaintedness being the nature of the Atma is revealed by that word. So all these words negate all the wrong notions. Not now only they reveal the Swarupa of the Atma, what is not known to you. So only that is Pramana Vakyam. So that mantra is what? Mantra consists of a sentence, statement of pramanam, pramana vakyam. So what is a pramana vakyam? In jnana kanda you have pramana vakyam. In karma kanda you have anuvada vakyani. Is it clear? Even the whole Veda is taken to be the pramanam. Because, understand, because one is for preparation, other one is for knowledge. And he says, not only Veda accepts your misconceptions, it adds some more misconceptions to you also. For one to be able to perform the karma, you must have what? You must have certain qualifications. Veda presents that. What are the qualifications you should have to be the performer of the karma? To enjoy the benefits of, the fruits of the rituals or karma prescribed in the Karma Kanda, you must have certain qualifications. What are they? Veda adds, already you have your own qualifications, misconceptions about the self. Veda also adds to them. Karma Kanda presents some more, which are negated later on in the Jnana Kanda. What are they? First thing, arthitvam. Arthitvam means what? Being an arthi. Arthi means the seeker, the desirer, one who is desirous of ends. She says, if you are not desirous of accomplishing ends, then you are not qualified for doing any karma. Well, be desirous, first of all, isn't it? Arthitva means what? Enjoying the status of being the desirer, one who is full of desires, one who is was lots of desires. That is the qualification. Okay, you want lots of money, then dhanarthi may one perform vayavya yaga. Putrarthi, no, really, suppose he may perform putra kamesht yagaha. Means, who is the one who should have this desire? Only agrihastaha. Desire for child, who can have? Not a brahmachari, not eligible, not qualified, not a vanaprasthi, not a sannyasi, not at all a sannyasi. Isn't it? Desire for putra is not inappropriate. But who should have, who is adhikari, who is eligible to have the desire? Not any of the ashramites, only a householder. Even that household also, however, I'm still not a sannyasi, I'm still a householder, but no, I'm only 70. No. Or even if you're a household 25, living on government benefits, kuchelaha. No. You should have, you must be a man, isn't it? No. Therefore, there is adhikaritvam is there. Who should be? Arthitvam is very important, isn't it? One, you must be desirous. Being desirous is the qualification. So you must be an arthi. You must be a desirer. You must be the one who has lots of desires to perform the rituals. And must be eligible also, qualified to have the proper desires. And I want to have children, but I want government to pay for all my children. Maha adharma, isn't it? Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Then also we have next qualification. Dvijatvam. Dvijatvam means one must have the status of being the dvijaha. One must think, I'm an arthi, I have lots of desires and I'm eligible to do that. Then dvijatva means what? Dvijaha means the one who is twice born. Who is a twice born? Twice born here means the one who has gone through, don't think of something big, okay? The one who has gone through the ritual of upanayanam, yajna upavita karma. So in Vedic culture, there's a particular ritual called upanayanam. Having got it done, the child would have got the sacred thread, upavitam, which means such a person is qualified, eligible for performing, for first of all studying Veda, then performing rituals. That is why you don't worry about yajnapavita karma, all of you, okay? Jnanam doesn't require all those things. Only for karma you need all that. This is the answer, the latest answer, I think even Peter gave to somebody. Last answer he gave, somebody asked, oh, I haven't gone through upanayana karma, I have not got my yajnapavitam sacred thread, so I'm not eligible for studying Veda adhyayanam, then I cannot study Veda, then I cannot attain jnanam, then how am I, you know, which means I'm a deprived of the attainment of knowledge. No. Only for Veda adhyayanam, only for performance of rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, isn't it? One must have gone through the Upanayanam Karma, one must have got this Yajnapavitam thread. So don't worry, people who are inspiring for Jnanam, you don't need to worry about what has not happened. Understand? therefore, Navi is a good blessing. So he here, for he Shankara says in commentary, Dvijatvam. So which means to be eligible for performing rituals, one must have also done some Veda Dhyanam, for which one must have gone, has the sacred thread, and for which one must have gone through the ritual of Upanayanam. The one who has gone through Upanayanam alone is called what? Dvijaha. Is it clear? Therefore, and to go through that ritual also, to have the thread also, one must be a Brahmanaha, Kshatriyaha, Ravaishyaha. So he must have Abhimana, he must have all these notions. I am a Brahmanaha, I am a Kshatriyaha, I am Vaishyaha. That, first of all, is a Varna identity he must have. And Aham Dvijaha, I got my thread done. Na Amadikari, he must have all these all these notions, misconceptions one would have, isn't it? These are the qualifications who prescribes. Karma Kanda itself prescribes Dvijatvam. Then late, one more is there. Dakshatvam. Dakshatvam means capability. One must be capable. Are they enjoying the status of being the capable person? Capability means what? Perform a ritual means one must be a daksha. Daksha means what? First of all, he must be physically hale and healthy, strong person, capable person. Because many times you have to get up and sit and do namaskaram and listen, it's not that easy, isn't it? You saw the day, how many times you get up and do namaskaram and all those things. First of all, I can't sit, the back is aching, I can't get up many times means you have... Ritual means you have to sit for hours, isn't it? So not something, dakshatvam. Not only physically being fit. You can't say, I have some anil. You suppose the physically disabled, a lame person is not eligible to do karma. Because how can you do? You need support of other people. How can you do karma? Not that you're not undermined. To do anything, you need your own, first of all, help. How can you perform rituals? Karma. Dakshatvam. Not only that, you must be able to give dakshina also. You must have a lot of money. I want to perform rituals, but I go begging every day, means. How can you do that? You must know, and at least you can't even have an account. Next month I'll pay you from my account. Now, again, you can't say, Dakshina, I'll pay you next month. No, immediately, as soon as the karma is over, you have to pay, give Dakshina also. Which means it involves expenditure. So this is called Dakshatvam. No? I mean, eligibility, being capable of performing rituals. So, Aham Dakshaha, I am very capable, I am eligible, I have all the fitness, I have money. Also, I reduced actually. Lots of things are there. I have a shika and I have lots of things I can say. As to perform a ritual, there's some more lakshanams also are there. How should be the performer, etc. No, I'm not elaborating on those things. Three aspects Shankara mentions here. One, the enjoying the status of being the person of desires. And enjoying the status of being the dvijaha, enjoying the status of being a capable person of capability, is it? All these are all qualifications. Now, Veda Karmakanda itself adds some more qualifications so that you can have more misconceptions about you. Not only already what you have. All for what? It's called, first of all, accepting you as you are and making you, whatever Anuj wants one day, bat means, and then Siddhartha has to go all the way. He won't say no. Go and look for a bat, and even the shop, he simply shows himself, isn't it? Take accepting. you as you are. It's called with all love and warmth, Upadaya. Veda, what does Veda Mata do? Accepting you from where you are. Wherever you are sitting in the gutter, Veda comes down to the gutter. To why? To bring you out of the gutter. You are sitting in slush, Veda comes down to the slush to bring you, uplift you from there. No, I won't come there. If you say, I won't come, and don't worry, my baby, I'll come there. Comes down, holds your hand, isn't it? Brings you up. That's what Veda does. That's why Karma Kanda prescribes all these things. And the acceptance of all the misconceptions, what you hold, what you have already about yourself, adding some more to what you already have, you know, is only restating what you know about yourself. That restatement of what, all the notions you have about yourself are called Anuvada Vakyani. They are not Pramana Vakyani. Pramana Vakyani means what? Revealing something what you do not know already. Therefore, in the Ishavasya Upanishad mantras, nowhere we have, you know, the verses in the beginning until the 8th mantra, isn't it? What we have, all those verses reveal the Atmaswarupam. Understand? Relatively, Jiva is a doer. Even then, we have to say, even then the doer is not the Jiva. The doer is Atma, relatively, isn't it? Jiva means what? Jiva is Atma. Relatively doer. Absolutely non-doer. What is a fact? What is relative should be taken as a fact, or what is absolute should be taken as a fact? Which should be taken as a fact? Relative or the absolute? Therefore, Veda actually only reveals the Pramana Vakyams. In this Upanishad, we have only Pramana Vakyani, not Anuvada Vakyani, not Arthavada Vakyani, not Vidhi Vakyani are not there. Arthavada Vakyani are not there. You get what I'm saying? And I have explained to you, isn't it? There are no restatements are not there, which means the only Pramana Vakyani are there. Is it clear? Therefore, what does it do? By revealing the swarupam of the Atma, resolves the, through the revelation of the swarupam, it negates the very, it resolves the ignorance. Okay? Ignorance is resolved, which means through the resolution of ignorance, ignorance caused bondage. Also is what? All the problems, samsara is also resolved. It reveals yourself, your real self, the Jiva Swarupam, being free from shokaha mohaha. How does it reveal the Jiva Swarupam being free from shoka moha, grief and delusion? A delusion and grief, isn't it? How? By removing the ignorance. In ignorance, you can't help having grief and sorrow. In knowledge, there can't be grief and sorrow. So it relieves you, it helps you discover the self being already free from grief and delusion. Delusion and delusion caused grief, sorrow. For which it resolves, only through the resolution of ignorance, it helps you discover freedom from delusion and sorrow. For resolving the ignorance, it reveals what? Only by revealing the nature, swarupam, being free from ignorance. So, Atma Swarupa Jnana Dwara, ajnana nivrittya, samsara nivrittihi. That is what is taken care of in this Upanishad, which means atma jnanam, knowledge of the self, or jiva is atma. What is jiva? Jiva is atma. Jiva is only a name given to atma, obtaining in the body mindsense complex, individual body mindsense complex. The Swarupam is definitely atma. Atma is, this is the real nature of the atma. Therefore, just the ignorance centered on I is resolved. So what is ajnanam? Ajnanam also is anadi, swabhavika ajnanam. Beginningless, swabhavikam ajnanam means what? Swabhavika means natural. Natural means what? Uncreated. That way, nobody has created ignorance, isn't it? Atma has not created ignorance. Who has created? Ajnanam is something swabhavikam means natural, uncreated. Understand? Uncreated means what? It is resolvable. Swarupa means it is non-resolvable. Swabhavika means resolvable. Understand this difference? So, in fact, you are not destroying anything here. Only resolve the ajnanam, which is the cause of samsara. By knowing the truth of the very ajnanam, you resolve the ignorance by knowing the very truth of the ignorance. There is no such a thing called destruction of anything here. Or destroying here? No. But knowing the truth of ignorance, you are resolving the very ignorance, which is natural, isn't it? It's uncreated. There, by resolving the ignorance, you discover, through the resolution of ignorance, you are helped to discover the self being already free from delusion and grief. One thing has to be very clear. Ignorance and jnana knowledge cannot coexist, we said. Remember, here Upanishad reveals what? Reveals the nature of the Atma. Thereby what jnanam rises in you? Knowledge of the Atma. Upanishad, by negating what Atma is not, it reveals the nature of the Atma. Isn't it? Through the understanding of the nature of the Atma, the knowledge that rises is of the Atma. So knowledge of the Atma is opposed to ignorance of the Atma, isn't it? Therefore, knowledge of the Atma is opposed to what? Ignorance of the Atma. Knowledge is opposed to ignorance. Why? Knowledge drives away ignorance. Therefore, self-knowledge will remove which ignorance? Only self-ignorance. What I want to say, knowledge of physics is not opposed to chemistry ignorance. Our computer knowledge is not opposed to Sanskrit ignorance. Is it clear? Therefore, it will not remove all the ignorance. Don't have all confusion. Self-knowledge will remove only self-ignorance. That is only ignorance which is the cause of your samsara. Chemistry ignorance is not cause of your samsara. Physics is not the cause of samsara. Your shoka, moha, is it moha, shoka, nivrityartham? What you want is not physics, chemistry, knowledge. Only atma ajnanam only has to be resolved. For which you need only atma jnanam. But does not mean physics, chemistry, knowledge is not undermined here. You need to have physics knowledge, chemistry knowledge, mathematics knowledge, language knowledge, everything to discipline your mind, to prepare your mind, to make your mind sharpened, subtle, to be able to understand, attain the knowledge of the self. That is why apara vidya is for preparation. And when the prepared mind can have para vidya, which is moksha. Is it clear? Finished. We'll see. Maybe when you come for... I may have to say a few more things. But this is the content of the introductory commentary. So now Shankar Bhagavatpada says, therefore, these mantras of this Upanishad are not meant for using in karmakanda, during the performance of rituals. This Upanishad doesn't belong to karmakanda. Karmasu etesha mantranam karmasu aviniyogaha. Okay, therefore, what is the nigamanam means what? Final conclusion. This reveals anadhigatam, what is unknown to you. This reveals only the Atma Swarupam. This reveals the Atma being the non-doer, non-enjoyer. Atma being free from doership, enjoyership, grief and sorrow and ignorance. Therefore, this is what? This is only Pramana Granthaha. Therefore, it belongs to the Jnanakanda portion only. This which is the final aim. Actually, not only the Upanishads, even texts like Smriti Granthas like Bhagavad Gita, other even Prakarana Granthaha, they also purely deal with knowledge, not karma. Understand? Therefore, this belongs to Jnanakandaha only. You should not have any doubt. Therefore, now you can remain quiet. Let me start writing my commentary on this Upanishad. Lord Shankara Bhagavatpada declared, then he starts his commentary. This is only Avatarika Bhashyam contents. It is before entering into Purnamadaha. Imagine if we enter into from now, we only completed the month, the Upanishad. Now we have to go verse by verse, the commentary, isn't it? Anyway, it's very, lots of things. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tatsat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.